Mark chapter 1 and verse 35, we're only going to be in one verse tonight, but don't get all excited. Don't think, oh, yay, it's one verse. It may be a two-hour service, I don't know, and I'm very tempted to do that after I've been prodded and poked and made fun of, but we will. Y'all just look up here, okay? That's don't need any more of that. Old movies used to have the intermissions and plays have intermissions. We can have an intermission. We got plenty of stuff downstairs to snack on and come back up for the second half. Okay, now Mark chapter 1 and verse 35. I was just reading, preparing and everything, and came to this verse, and I thought, I was intending on maybe finishing out the chapter, but I thought, I think we need to just stay right in this verse. And I think that if we move too quickly, we'll miss something here. But I want to talk about prayer tonight. Mark chapter 1, verse 35, "And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out," talking about Jesus, "and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed." Dear God, help us tonight to understand your word. Lord, soften our hearts and help us to be who you want us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. My fear is that I know this about myself, and you might be able to say this about yourselves. I just never feel like I pray like I should. Whether it's the time that I spend in prayer, whether it's what I pray about, I just always feel lacking in my prayer life. I just never really feel like, I just always think there's more time I could be spending talking to God. Maybe you feel like that, or maybe you have felt like that. I don't like that feeling. I know the power of prayer. I know that when I begin my day that way, I know that it doesn't always drive the troubles of the day away, but it does seem to help the rest of my day and help me along. I'll come in here. When I'm here at the church, I try to spend some serious time in prayer first thing, and then start working on sermons and lessons and all that. And I know that when I do that, it's like things flow better. There have been times in my life where there was no peace to be found except on my knees in prayer. I know the power of prayer. I know what I've seen answered prayer. We've all seen answered prayer. We all prayed and asked God to save us. I'm looking around here and I think everybody's saved. And he answered that one, and then he just kept on answering, more and more and more. And so we know the power of it. But I just know that in my life, I always feel like, man, that's an area where I'm not doing what I should. And I don't know if you've ever felt that way, or maybe you feel that way now. And maybe it's one of those things that if I spent every waking moment, I would still maybe not feel like I was spending enough time in prayer. Because, it's just, can we ever talk to our Savior enough? But a fear that we don't pray as often as we ought to. I feel that we don't always pray with the right spirit. I fear that we don't always pray as fervently as we should. If you'll remember this morning, we talked about the cares of life and how they can come in and take over and kind of consume our time. Well, I'm afraid that whenever we pray sometimes, I would liken it to the way that we sing our hymnals sometimes, our hymns out of our hymnals. Sometimes we sing, and we sing these old songs that we know so well and we have sung for years, and we kind of get used to them, don't we? And we don't always pay real close attention to what we're singing. And that's why I said sometimes if you'll stop and just read the words of a hymn or sing it slower, sometimes you start to kind of soak in a little bit more of what it means and what's being said. And But I think that sometimes we pray like that. Well, it's time to pray, and we start to pray in what Christ called vain repetitions. Let me say, this isn't our text, but let me point out something about vain repetitions. Christ did not, when Christ said that we weren't to pray in vain repetitions, he wasn't condemning that we pray and ask for the same things or we pray in the same way. Vain means empty. So it means praying the same thing all the time and you don't mean it and there's nothing to it and it's emptiness. You say, well, I feel like every time I go to God, I'm taking the same things to him. God doesn't have a problem with that. That's just a repetitive prayer. It's vain if it's just a habit and there's nothing to it and you're just saying it. So it's not, the repetition isn't wrong. It's when it's a vain repetition. That's one of the reasons why I've never been a fan of. And if you enjoy it, if it's a blessing to you, that's fine. This is just a personal opinion. This is just something that I feel. I've never really enjoyed when a church will do or sing the doxology together. Or when a church would quote the Lord's Prayer together. And here's the reason why I've just never really enjoyed doing that. Because in my experience, and maybe yours has been different, but in my experience, when I have done that, and the churches that I've done that in, it was very clear that it was a dull, vain repetition. I always felt like, man, everybody here is just saying this like trained mice or something. Why are we doing this? Now, that it might not be that way with you. You may stand and do the doxology or the Lord's Prayer, and it may really bless you, and that's wonderful. But I'm saying those are examples of things that sometimes we can fall into a rut, and we just say them. And our prayers can be like that. And we're just saying it, and they're just words, and it's really just vain and empty. But I'm just afraid that whenever we approach the Lord in prayer, that, as I said, it's not as often, it's not in the right spirit, and it's not as fervently as we should or could do. I think that if we're honest with ourselves, most of us would say our prayer life could use a little work. So if you're here this morning and you realize that God's people are to be a praying people, and you realize that God speaks to us through His Word and we speak to Him through prayer, and that's important to you, and you understand that we need that in our lives. But if you're in that place, if you're sitting here tonight and you're saying, well, you know, I know how important that is, but I have fallen into that rut. My prayer life is not what it should be. If you've neglected this gift of prayer, it could be for any number of reasons, but the fact is, a lot of times we don't seek His face the way that we should. If we desire to know Him more and to see Him working in our lives, we ought to be with Him in prayer. My desire is to not just have a head knowledge of God's Word and to just stand up and preach it, but to have an intimate, close, personal relationship with the Savior. And one of the ways that we do that is by being in communication in prayer. But if you're here tonight and that's what you're saying, you say, you know, Pastor, I know what you're saying. I fall into that, I'm in that rut, or I have fallen into that rut before, or I think I'm headed for that rut. And I just feel like my prayer life needs some work. Well, we're going to look tonight at some examples that Christ gave us that I believe if we would implement these, I just believe it would have to make a difference, not only in our prayer life, but if our prayer life is changed, our life is going to be changed. In marriage, you can know everything there is to know about your spouse. I mean, you can know all of their favorites, all of their likes, their dislikes. You can know so much about your spouse. You can know so much about family members. You know, the people around you. I remember a few weeks ago, pardon me, a few weeks ago, I thought this was funny. Everybody was coming in for the evening service, and I was standing back there by the nursery, and Sister Carol was in there, and she was talking to Amy. And just as Brother Mike comes up the steps. Carol coughed, and Mike turned around and he said, "I knew that was you. That's the Lee cough." He said, "I knew that was you." And you see, we know all these things about our spouses and our siblings and our parents and our kids. And we can know the facts. We can know a lot of important things. And we can recognize one another by the cough, by the whimper. I know Clayson's cry above anybody else's. I hear it enough. You know, I was sitting up here today, and Brother Mark had his mother here, and I knew from looking it was his mom and not hers. You could just see the resemblance. I went down and said, "Is this your mother?" And he said, "Yes." And I said, "I could tell, you know, I could see the resemblance." We can know all of that, but if there's no communication, no talking, no verbal communication, that intimate closeness, that personal relationship is going to suffer. Years ago, it was, I don't want to say it was popular, it wasn't commonplace, but people did it. People would, advertise, a widower with children or a widow or something, they would advertise in papers, that they, we call them mail order brides. But people really did that. You know, they needed somebody to take care of them, and so they would say, and they would be like pen pals, and they would write back and forth and get to know one another, and then meet. And if they thought, well, this is going to work out, they'd get married. And a lot of times, it just started out as really just protection and financial stability for one another. But then sometimes maybe they would fall in love or one another. Well, you can write those letters all day for years and get to know all the facts. But you're not going to know the person. It used to be popular to have pen pals. And people had pen pals. You know, I think the internet has killed the whole pen pal tradition. And I never had one. But that used to be a big thing, the pen pals. And people would write to other countries and everything. And I'm kind of sorry I didn't get in on that, as a child. But anyhow, you can know a lot about somebody. But if there's not that personal talking, that communication like that, the relationship isn't going to be all that it could be if you don't have that regular communication. Well, it's the same with God. We ought to know His Word, should we not? I mean, we understand we ought to know His Word. And that's how we get to know Him. That's how we learn of Him and we understand who He is. We ought to be in His Word. That's how we learn about our God. But if we don't spend time with Him in prayer, how will we ever have that sweet fellowship? How will we ever... I just think of salvation. We can read God's Word and learn how to be saved, but if we don't approach God in prayer... Now you say, what about the man that can't speak? That's God understands that. That's all in God's hands. You can still put your faith in Christ and be saved. We understand that. But what I'm saying here tonight is we can read the Bible and learn a lot of facts about God and know all the whole list of things about God. But if we're not spending that time communicating with Him in prayer, there is an intimacy, there's a sweet fellowship there that we're going to miss out on. It's really hard to explain, but those of you that have been there know what I'm talking about. You know what it's like to go to God in prayer with a burden, and after you've spent sweet time with Him, even if He didn't remove the problem or remove the hurdle or whatever it is, you know what it is to come out of that time of prayer and feel that sweet peace. It's one of those things that the only way we can explain it is it's the Holy Spirit working in our lives. That old song, "Sweet Hour of Prayer." Those of you that have spent that sweet hour of prayer, you know how true those words are. It's a sweet time of fellowship. So tonight, if we come to this and we say, you know what? I need to do some work here. I need God to work on me here in this area. Let's begin with this verse 35. And look at these steps here that we can implement in our lives and restore, or if it's never been there, begin that sweet fellowship of prayer with God. First of all, the Bible says, and in the morning. You know, we ought to begin everything with prayer. We just get up and rush out and into things and into situations, and then sometimes we get in a mess and then we realize, I didn't even pray about this. Here I was all set to make this decision, I didn't even pray about this. We ought to begin everything with prayer, not just our day, but there's a reason why we begin our church services in prayer. There's a reason why you ought to begin your marriage in prayer. That's a big step. That's a big decision in your life. We ought to go into it with prayer. You ought to begin parenting with prayer. Every time you have to deal with your children on a certain situation, we ought to be in prayer and asking God for His guidance to help us in that. But we ought to begin things in prayer. In the morning, it says here that he prayed. We see that Christ began his day with prayer. And many of us will begin with the news or the email or checking the text messages or whatever it might be. And then by the time that we get to praying, we're out of time. Now I got 5 minutes before I need to leave for work. So I know what's going on in Baltimore and I know what's going on in Iran. And I know what mom's doing today because she sent me the email and the text and everything, but I've not heard from God. I have not talked to God. I've not spent time with God. We ought to begin our day with prayer. And as I said before, we find that our days go much smoother if we do. Here's something to think about. When you get up each morning, do you know every single circumstance, every situation, every event that's coming your way today? You don't know one of them. You know what you have planned. You know what normally happens on Monday, Tuesday, whenever it is. You got a pretty good idea, but you don't know if those things are going to happen. You don't know what else is going to happen. Who does? Our Heavenly Father. So I got to think it would be to my benefit to spend some time talking with Him before I begin this day, because I don't know what it's going to hold, and He does. You know, you ever planned a trip somewhere, or maybe you were going to make a purchase, you were going to buy a certain type of vehicle, and you knew somebody who had taken that trip or bought that vehicle. Don't you go to that person? Have you ever gone to that person and said, hey, I was thinking about taking my family there. What can you tell me about it? You know about it. Help me get prepared. Hey, I saw you bought one of those pickups and I was really thinking about it. Tell me what you think about it. I want to be prepared. We ought to begin our day by saying, God, I'm going out into this world today, and I'm going out to do my work and to live for you and work for you. I don't know what's going to happen, but you do. Help me get prepared. That doesn't mean that God's answer is to tell you everything that's going to happen. But God, prepare me with the strength that I need and help me make the right decisions as I go through this day. But we ought to begin our day with prayer, asking Him for strength to face whatever's on the horizon. Look, secondly here, He says, rising up a great while before day. Not only was it in the morning, not only did He get up in the morning and go out and pray, but it says right here, it says, rising up a great while before day. Make it a priority. Is prayer a priority? Do we give ourselves enough time? Do we make time to do it? Do we make time to be in prayer? Make time and give yourself plenty of time. Too many times we wait to pray and then we're so rushed we can't pray adequately. Too many times we put it in the wrong place on our list of priorities Or we wait until the problems of life are there. We wait until we're stuck in the mud to look for a way out. Make time to pray. Begin with prayer. Make it a priority and give ourselves plenty of time. It says that Christ, he rose up a great while before day. That doesn't mean that Christ got up and said, well, you know, if I get up at about 10 till, that'll give me about 10 minutes. He got up before anybody else. Everybody else may have still been asleep. The events of the day had not begun yet. He gave himself plenty of time to spend in prayer. When you're going to spend time with your family or out doing something else that you enjoy, don't you give yourselves plenty of time? If you have something planned, don't we say things like this? I know we do. Well, if we go at this time, then that'll give us enough time to go check this out and go here and then be there. Or we say this, we say, well, let's make sure we go early enough that we're not rushed. Let's make sure we get there early enough that we get a good seat. Hey, let's not wait till the last minute because then we won't have time to enjoy it. We say those things. You've said those things. Where's that attitude whenever we come to prayer? It's even more important. Our attitude ought to be, I don't want to be rushed whenever I get alone with God. I don't want to be in a hurry. I don't want to run out of time. I want to make sure I have plenty of time to spend with God in prayer. We make time for a lot of things in our lives, but spending time with God seems to be a burden or something we just breeze through, or, well, I better hurry up and do this. Sometimes we pray like Clayson prays before we eat. Now, Clayson's 2, it's cute. When you're 32, it's not cute. Here's what Clayson does. We give him his food, and we're all still getting our plates. And a lot of times what we'll do is we'll go ahead and pray so Clayson can start eating while we're, you know, getting our plates. Because I'm telling you what, once the food starts cooking, he's ready. And by the time it's done and on the table, everybody's pulling their hair out. I mean, I know you wouldn't think that to look at him. I mean, but he is just whining, or he's so excited that he's, you know, jumping up and down and everything, and we got to get Clayson to the table. But we get him to the table and set him down there, and he's wanting to dig in, and we'll say, now, wait a minute, we have to pray first. And he goes, amen, and then just goes at it. Now, wait a minute. And here's what he was doing for a while, and we had to get on to him. We'd sit down, and we would have him repeat after us, which we still do, but I would say, thank you, God. Or I'd say, dear God. And he's, dear God, thank you for this food. And then he'd go, thank you, food! Clayson, we're being serious. We're praying. It's not playtime. Then, please bless it. Please bless it. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name! You know, it's like I'm back in my old Pentecostal church, you know, praying. And Clayson, calm down. You know, we have to back up and do it again. But you put that food down there, and he's just, amen, and ready to go at it. I'm afraid we pray as adults like that sometimes. Let's hurry up and get this done. I've got stuff to do. We wouldn't go into anything else so ill-equipped. Why would we begin our day like that? Give ourselves time. Christ, he rose up a great while before day. Give yourself time. Why do we do that? Why do we just breeze through it? Well, could be we've never experienced the power of prayer. But how could we experience the power of it if we don't put ourselves to it and make it a priority? I don't think we're going to see the power in prayer if that's how we approach it. And then finally, if we look here, it says, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. Simply put, solitary place. It's good when we come in here and we pray together. It's good to pray with friends and family, and that's good. nothing replaces just you and God. Just spending time alone with God. There is such a... I've been in some wonderful prayer meetings. I can remember one in particular. We had a men's prayer breakfast, and afterwards we broke up into small groups, and there were about four or five of us in this group, and we just took our time and we just prayed. And I can remember that specific prayer meeting and what a blessing it was. And we were just revived and rejuvenated. It was wonderful. And then I also remember times just, it's just me, just getting down and taking time and just being open and transparent before God, and He sees it all anyhow, and why would I try to cover anything up, and just being honest and pouring my heart out to Him, and it just as rejuvenating and just as energizing, and it just as much of a blessing. We need to spend time alone with God. Don't you love being alone with your spouse and your children sometimes? Isn't it nice? Especially if you've had a few hectic weeks or months. Isn't it nice for just you and your spouse to have a day, just go, and it's just the two of you? I mean, isn't that refreshing? Sometimes I'll take one kid at a time with me, go do something. I'm going to Bloomington or something, and I'll take this one, and the next time it's this one's turn. And we get that time alone, and we love being together as a family, and that's wonderful, but sometimes we need that time. Just Amy and I just need that time, and Amy and Ashton need that time, and maybe it's Colin or Alex and I, or whatever the combination is, but just the two of us. Just that time alone. No distractions. You can focus on what that person is saying to you. You can focus on their needs. You can listen to them. You can't replace that. One of the biggest hindrances to prayer, I believe, is the distractions of life. And I think that we just need to get alone. We just need to remember Jesus said that when we enter into our closet to pray, he said, "Where my closets are." He didn't mean you had to go into an actual physical closet, but it's the idea that you're in there alone, just you and your Father. Have you ever... I didn't grow up in this kind of a family. I was the youngest of three boys and the youngest of all the cousins. But some of you know what it's like to... the rest of them, by the time they were all gone, they all left home a few years before I did. But some of you know what it's like to have siblings that are close to you in age. And maybe sometimes it's you feel like, I wish I had time with Dad. I wish I had a day with Dad or with Mom or whatever. I mean, it wasn't that way with me, but I know that some of you, it has probably been that way. Remember that desire and that sweetness when you got that? I was thinking the other day, Ashton, she used to, when she was younger, she used to really like Curious George, the books and the cartoons and everything. She was just crazy about Curious George. And this has been a while back. They had up in Indianapolis, they had one of those shows. It was a play, basically, and it was Curious George. This guy in a big monkey suit and all the people from, dressed up like the cartoon and everything. And just Ashton and Daddy went to it. And all we did was we went up and ate at Steak and Shake, sat up at the counter. My kids think that's a huge deal to sit up at the counter. We sat up at the counter and ate Steak and Shake and went to see the Curious George and went to a toy store on the way home. Didn't buy anything, just went in and looked around. And I remember driving home that she was just glowing. She was glowing. I said, "What did you think about today?" And she said, "It was..." She just didn't know what to say, and she said, "Well, it was more than wonderful, and it was more than, I said, you can't find the words? And she said, no, I can't. I said, then it was indescribable. And she said, yes, it was indescribable. You know, she was, this is, I don't know, it was probably just last year. But anyhow, you know, I remember that day, you know, just, it was just the two of us. And I was thinking about that the other day, you know, and sometimes the boys and I'll just grab one of the boys. You know, can I go with you this time? And you got to go last time. It's his turn. And we'll go out and we'll do whatever. We'll go to Menards and buy, you know, man stuff that we don't even need. We just want to buy man stuff and you know, take them out to lunch. And we, it's a sweet, wonderful time. So much more with our Father. So much more if we go and we spend time with Him alone. And when we go out with spouses and family members and we shut off the things of the world and we just concentrate on that person, it does so much for our fellowship with that person. We need to shut off the TV, the radio, the computer, the phone, and just have some uninterrupted time with our Savior. Just have some time alone with God. Not only that, we need to concentrate on God and our prayers to Him rather than letting the cares of life distract us. You know, whenever we go out and spend that alone time with our spouse, what's one of the things we're doing? We're trying to just listen to Him and concentrate on Him and keep that bond sweet like it's supposed to be. We're trying to keep that good, sweet fellowship there. Well, in times of prayer, our minds ought to be fixed on and centered on God and His Word and what He wants from us and what I need to talk to Him about. I don't know about you. Sometimes I get down to pray and it's just, I mean, everything just flows and it's just sweet and it's wonderful. And other times I get down and just in my mind, maybe everything is shut off. Maybe I'm in a quiet place, but just in my mind, it is one distraction after another. You're praying and some thought comes into your head. You remember something. You start thinking about this. Am I the only one that's been there? Surely I'm not. You get down to pray and it's just like, You just can't concentrate. Look, don't get discouraged when that happens. Don't quit praying. We just keep centering on God and keep putting that stuff out and blocking that stuff out and spend time with Him. It's so much harder to do that if we have other distractions going on. What I'm saying is there are enough distractions just in our mind when we pray. We don't need to add to it. Getting alone with God and shutting things off and shutting things down will help us to be sure that we're not adding to those distractions. So in closing, Christ gave us the example of starting with prayer. Start our day with prayer. Start work with prayer. Start meetings with prayer. You have a meeting at work, before you go into it, spend some time with God. God, I need your direction here. Spend time in prayer. Give ourselves plenty of time and remove the distractions when we pray. Let's put these things into practice starting tonight, tomorrow morning, this week. This is one step that we can take in striving to have a sweeter fellowship with our Savior. Let's pray.